Welcome to The Growth Factor, a broadcast ministry of St. Mark Baptist Church. Today, as part of our family, you will experience the life-changing and spirit-nurturing Word of God. Please enjoy this time with us, where we're committed to helping you grow in knowledge, grow in faith, and grow in God. St. Mark Baptist Church, you grow here.
So the question is, does the Bible condone slavery? Well, reality is the Bible deals with slavery as a reality and its economic structure. So we live in a society that wants to handle things on an absolute basis. So in order for something to be right or wrong, it has to be an absolute. It's either right or wrong. It's either A or it's B. It's either yes or it's no. But with regard to slavery, it's really not about does the Bible condemn or condone slavery, but it's how the Bible deals with the reality of slavery. Remember, the Bible is descriptive of a people in a certain time period. We don't want to fall into the trap and the pit of trying to draw distinct lines on these parallels between biblical slavery and slavery as we know it in the harsh and inhumane practice of slavery that happened in America and other countries had to endure. We don't want to try and draw parallels because the two are just simply not the same. So then what does the Bible have to say about slavery? So here it is. Let's talk through it real quick. The first mention of slavery in our Bible is Genesis 9, where it says, if you follow me to Genesis 9, you will see at the 24th verse when it says, when Noah awoke from his drinking, he had learned what his youngest son had done to him. He said, Canaan is cursed. He will be the lowest of slaves to his brother. He also said, bless the Lord and God of Shem. Let Canaan be Shem's slave. Let God extend Japheth and let Japheth dwell in the tents of Shem. Let Canaan be Shem's slaves. So the idea is, slavery is a reality even in Genesis. Slavery was happening in the culture. They were not, the Israelites were not a full and living and dwelling in slavery all, but slavery was a reality of the time. It happened again, another conversation of it, but through it all, we'll look at Exodus 20, and it talks about God's supremacy over slavery and how God reigned over the reality of slavery. Follow me real quick to Exodus 20. I want you to see this because it makes sense when you look at how God reigned and supremacy over slavery. Exodus 20 and 2, it simply says, Exodus 1 says, then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. You see what I'm saying? God uses slavery as a way to say, I brought you out of this harsh reality. I brought you out. Slavery was not an idea that God says, I want to keep you in, but I'm going to bring you out of it. Israel's unjust and harsh slavery conditions are also found in Exodus 1. I want to look at that because it makes so much sense. Exodus 1, 8 through 14. It talks about the harsh reality of the Israelites and why the Egyptians put them in that situation, because the Egyptians were becoming fruitful and multiplying, and Pharaoh's unsubstantiated fear crushed the reality of the Israelites, and his unsubstantiated fear created this harsh and inhumane slave conditions. In Exodus 1:8, it simply says this way, a new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt. He said to his people, look, the Israelite people are more numerous and powerful than we are. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them. Otherwise, they will multiply further. And when war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us and leave the country. The idea was there has to be somebody put over them because they are becoming so powerful. The covenant code that we see in slavery in the Bible was one, though, that when God says, I see the reality of slavery, but we have to have a covenant code regarding the Hebrew slaves. Slaves were to be treated with respect and humanity and afforded basic rights. We find this covenant code, as we call it, in Exodus chapters 21 through 23. Slaves are to be treated with a certain level of respect to humanity and given basic rights. Humane treatment was expected. Abusive treatment resulted in the slave being set free. Slaves have the opportunity to be set free. In Exodus 21, 26 to 27, we see the condition of a slave being set free when it says in Exodus 21, 26, when a man strikes the eye of his male or female slave and destroys it, he must let the slave go free in compensation for his eye. If the man knocks out the tooth of his male or female slave, he must let the slave go free in compensation of his tooth. Look, the idea was abusive treatment resulted in the slave being set free. So when you say, why does the does the Bible condone slavery? The Bible gives rules and regulations around the treatment of slaves. We have these conditions of slavery and how people were put into slavery through chattel, through debts, slaves, and even captives of war. Chattel slavery is one that's interesting because you can if it was to commit a crime and not able to pay the restitution, it will result in one being ordered by the judge into indentured servitude. Debt slavery, saying that if I can't pay a debt, that I go into indentured servitude or slavery because I can't pay a debt back. A captive of war, meaning when their war happens and now we capture those, they are brought in, but they were dealt a little bit more harshly because they were not Hebrew people at the time of their capture. Exodus 21, 2 through 11, lay out the protections and the rights of slaves. If you look at that, I won't make you read all it tonight, but I want you to go back and look at Exodus 21, 2 through 11. It brings out and lays out the protections and the rights of slaves. Look, when we ask the question, does the Bible condone slavery? Slavery was a reality. But God, as we've already seen, looks at slavery as some slaves, as people who need to be respected, need to be a part of the community, need to be shown and given rights. That's why I told you on the front end, it's hard to draw these parallels because God gave strict rules and rights to slavery. And slavery in the Bible became such a thing that it was even changed a couple times. Slavery in the Bible also gave conditions of release. If you looked at biblical slavery, according to how God spoke about it, it was not intended to be a lifelong situation. Conditions of release was after 6 years of serving. In that seventh year, when a Hebrew slave was purchased, they were to be released after 6 years. Exodus 21 and 2 tells us, Israelites were never to be sold into slavery. Look at 21 and 2. It tells us, it says, when you buy a Hebrew slave, he was to serve for 6 years. Then in the seventh, he is to leave as a free man without paying anything. Slaves are to be set free. God is the only master of the Israelites. God did not intend for the Israelites to be sold and dealing with slavery all their lives. The idea was, we are God's people. He wanted them to know that we are God's people and God is the master of the Israelites. The Israelites were supposed to be living under the master of God and living and doing and serving God and God alone. So not only could you be set free in year seven, but you also could be set free in the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee was every 50 years. And what happens if you look at Leviticus 25, you'll see the instructions for the year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25. Let's go there real quick. Y'all gonna find me. Y'all gonna beat me there. Let's see. Exodus 25, 39. If you get there before me, say something in the comments. Say, hey, I got there before you. Exodus 25, 39 and 40. It says, y'all ready? Exodus 25, 39 says, if your brother among you becomes destitute and sells himself to you, you must not force him to be a slave laborer. Let him stay with you as a hired worker or a temporary resident. He may work for you until the year of Jubilee. Then he and his children are to be released from you, and he may return to his clan and his ancestral property. Look, slavery in biblical times was something that was temporary. and you had opportunities to be released. You were treated with respect. You had opportunities to be released. Slaves who sold themselves into slavery were able to regain their freedom. The Israelites, who also became slaves to one another, they through debt or poverty, were also able to regain their freedom. They were able to go back into the community as free people. So slavery as an idea, as a reality, was one that was to be dealt with respect. Also, they had to have conditions of release. But look what the Bible does even beyond that. It didn't just stop with the covenant code laid out in Exodus, but it began to change. There were two other changes in this code to make slavery more giving to the way of understanding how it's supposed to be for families and to keep families together. There were changes in this covenant code. In the Deuteronomy code, there's a revision in Deuteronomy 15. And for after serving 7 years, the Hebrew man is to be released with a portion of the earnings the master had earned while he had him in his possession. So look at the change. Now it says, when I'm released with a portion of the earnings that my master received, so that when I'm released, I'm not forced back into debt, thus forcing me back into slavery. I'm set free with an opportunity to now have a new life and a good life. And also with that, here's an addition to it. Now the change says the female slaves are to be released as well. In the covenant code, it says if the master gave the male slave a wife, when he was set free, the female slave stayed with the master. But now, because God understands and our Bible teaches the unity of family, now it says you need to be able to keep the family together, so the female slave is released to the male slave as well. Then it doesn't just change once. It changes again with the holiness code in Leviticus. The land is to be sold back to the original owner at Jubilee if the original owner can't regain the property before. So not only am I able to keep my family, but I can also get my land back. You see how that works? The idea wasn't that God would just hold everybody and control everybody and have slavery be so harsh. But the idea was, in this time, you had to be able to get your family back, get your land back, get your respect back, and you can be a part of the community again. Again, that's why we can't have these parallels, because it does not equal the same. You have an opportunity, according to the biblical laws of slavery, to be right back with your family and get the land back, get your dignity back, get your respect back, and do it in such a way that you don't have to go back into slavery. God didn't want to free them only for them to be forced back into slavery. Look, slavery was not intended to break the family apart. Slavery was not intended so that the family could go separate ways, but God understood the importance of the unity. And scripture clearly states that if the wife and the children are sold into slavery with the male, they are to be returned to the male and not kept for the family. That's so important, because when we look at the two different ideologies of slavery, one gave an opportunity to be released and return to the family, and the other one did nothing but break families apart, hurt families for generation after generation after generation. And we still feel the brunt of that even today. But the Bible does not call for that. And so you and I, my brothers and sisters, we take this descriptive idea from the Bible for a specific people, and we prescribe the principles to our lives. What does God want for us? God wants us to continue to grow in our faith and our family and have us going together. God does not want us living in any type of slavery, be it mental, emotional, financial, spiritual. God does not intend for slavery to be a lifelong commitment, but the idea is to be free. Who the Son sets free is truly free indeed. Look, family, I hope, I pray that helped somebody. I hope it at least starts the conversation so that we can stop trying to condemn or condone, but deal in the reality of what our Bible says about slavery.
This has been The Growth Factor, a broadcast ministry of St. Mark Baptist Church. Be sure to follow this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and join our Facebook group, The Growth Factor, for daily motivational content. Let's keep the conversation going. Thank you for listening.